for our Scripture, then our praise song this morning forever. The Scripture this morning comes from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. The Apostle Paul writes, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Father, thank you for who you are, the assurance that we have of your presence forever in our lives. Lord, may you speak now to us your timeless message. May you provide us with transformation this hour. Lord, may all that's done, all that's spoken, be pleasing in your ears. In Jesus we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I've got a little bit of a dry, scratchy throat this morning, so I'm going to be drinking while I preach this morning. So, let's see, we may be here a long time today. No. As I was reading through the Scripture this week and trying to decide on what to preach on, and I come across these passages in Romans, and I'm going to be looking at several other passages other than what I read that I'll share with you. And in about three chapters there, chapter 12, 13, 14, even into 15, there's a lot of information in there that deal with the Christian life and kind of what the title I got, what does it mean to be a Christian? If you want to see some practical application, read over these chapters here and kind of get in depth and go in depth with them and ponder over what it's telling you. And I want to share a few things there in just a moment. But as I was decided to do this and titled my sermon and all, And this is another weekend for Chrysalis. And you've heard us mention that. And if you're getting tired of hearing me talk about Chrysalis, the only thing I can tell you is you need to be involved in it, or go to Emmaus if you're an adult over 25. Get involved with Emmaus, which is the same thing basically. It is one of the most, I go there, and as I'm thinking about what does it mean to be a Christian, for me, in the last couple of months, where I find the definition of being a Christian, I find it fulfilled almost as perfect as I can see it on this earth, or as perfect as I have seen it on this earth, being involved in Chrysalis these last few months. I see what it is to be a Christian, and what it means to be a Christian is right there. Now, we can't go on a retreat and stay on a retreat all of our lives. That's just not possible to do that. We do have to come back, and we have to go to school, and we have to go to work, and we have to deal with family who are sick and in the hospital. We have to deal with all of those things. We have to pay the bills and everything under the sun that we normally do. But what is it? So I asked myself, what is it about Chrysalis? What is it about that experience that makes it such a wonderful place to be, and just makes me want to go back and be involved with it again and again, even though it requires a lot of effort, a lot of energy, and you come away drained from it? What is it that makes you want to go back? I don't know if Brennan can answer this as well. But for me, as I was thinking about that this morning, I got to thinking about why this came to mind. I don't know. Maybe not enough sleep last night, and, you know, something, I don't know, hallucinating. Not enough coffee this morning. But I got to thinking about The Perfect Storm, the movie The Perfect Storm. You may have seen that. But anyway, and it's not about the movie really, but about what came together to make this perfect storm that was such a terrible storm. And I don't remember all the meteorological terms and all, but there were two or three different smaller storms that were in exactly the right place, at exactly the right time, in the exact relationship to each other, that created this monster storm. They called it the perfect storm because only once in a blue moon or whatever will all of these events come together to create this. And I'm thinking that that's what Chrysalis is like. It's a perfect storm for a spiritual experience. It's what Emmaus is like. It's that perfect storm because there are several things, several smaller things, individual things, that all come together in that setting, in that location, that just create this super storm that happens there. Well, there's three things that, as I was thinking about this, that what make that. And it's not exclusive. These things are not exclusive to Chrysalis or to Emmaus. They can happen right here if we will put them to use. The first of those is prayer. Prayer. You just don't... I just can't convey to you how much prayer goes into this thing if you haven't been involved with it. How much prayer. For months ahead of time. Months. The people that are on this team are praying. And as somebody signs up to be a part of this event, they start praying for that youth. Or Miranda and Kaylee, I didn't get their applications in until Monday. But I guarantee you, on Monday night, those team members were starting to pray for them by name. Even though they hadn't seen them, even though they didn't know what they looked like, they started praying for them Monday. In that weekend, that 72 hours of this perfect storm, there's every hour is covered in prayer. There's a 72-hour prayer vigil that people sign up for. You don't have to go there and pray on site, but you pray wherever you are at 30-minute increments, 72 hours, that there is constant prayer being offered up before the Lord on behalf of those those caterpillars are those in the participants, or what they're called, on behalf of the caterpillars and the team. During the event, there's a prayer chapel there that you can go to and pray at any time for any reason. It's open the whole time. But when people are about to give talks, there are 15 talks given in that weekend. Some of them given by clergy, some by laity. I think there's 5 clergy talks and 10 lay talks. Isn't that right, Brennan? And so, during that time, when somebody is about to talk, to give a talk, you go up to the prayer chapel, and 1, 2, 3, or 15 people, however many, come together and lay hands on you and anoint you with oil, and they pray for you. And I think I shared last time about this when Brenning and I were both on it, as I came back on Sunday, about the power that was experienced on that night when I was about to give my talk, and I went and sat down and had these folks pray for me. And tell them, Brenning, you were in there.
It's one of the most amazing experiences with the Holy Spirit I've ever had.
I mean, I don't know of anything. The only time I ever can even imagine it being more, the Holy Spirit being more powerful and being more felt in my life, was when I was saved. That would be the only time, if then. It's unbelievable. So there's prayer going on nonstop, continually, by many people. Concerted prayer, praying for specific things and for people. We can do that, folks. We don't have to relegate an experience like this to a 72-hour weekend at a camp on a retreat. We can be in prayer for one another like that. Now, we don't have to every day and every week set up a schedule and have, you know, people get up at 3:30 in the morning and 4:30 in the morning to pray for specific things. But we can pray all day long as we go about our lives. We can be in prayer, and we can come together in prayer. You know, we've tried several times to get a little prayer room going back here to encourage people after Sunday school, or if you don't come to Sunday school, come a few minutes early, go back here to this prayer room. Go in there and sit down and just pray. Pray for our church. Pray for the service that we will have. Pray for the preacher that he might have a little something to say that's worthwhile and would actually be influenced by the Holy Spirit. And it wouldn't be my words, but it would be His. Pray. We can do that. Can you do that? I mean, is there any reason that we couldn't? I don't know of one. Prayer. That's the first part of that perfect storm. The second part is so overlooked in our churches today. And we just kind of take it for granted. It's praise. It's praising God. Folks, when we praise God, what does that do? I mean, does that make us feel good? Well, it does make me feel good sometimes. But that's not the purpose of it. The purpose of praise is just telling God, just telling Jesus, how much we love Him and how grateful we are for Him, how thankful we are for what He has done for us. Praising Him because He's God and we're not. Praising Him because He died on the cross for our sins and I didn't. Praising Him because He gave us the Holy Spirit that abides with us right here today and directs us and moves us and brings all things in our life together to work to glorify His kingdom if we will let Him. That's what praise is. Praise is not simply sitting here and singing forever and just singing it like it's another dead song that was a hymn that was written 718 years ago and we're not familiar with the tune or the words. But it's singing to Him. It's not a performance. It's not singing to make the choir or the preacher feel good because, you know, he's got a group of people singing. It's praise to God. It's between you and God. You don't have to be good at singing. You don't have to have a great voice. Look at me. I love to sing. But I like to sing with other people when I can be a little bit drowned out and the off-key notes and all that. You know, I can blame it on somebody else, but I can sing loud and I can praise God. I don't have that tremendous gift of music like so many people do. and that I'm jealous of that do have it. But I can sing and I can praise God. Praising Him. Praising Him is a part of that that just brings God in. Just, it just says to God, we welcome You and we want You in this place. Because, see, praise is just for Him. When we pray, you know, we're selfish in our prayers sometimes, aren't we? And that's okay. It's okay to go to God with your needs. It's okay to pray and say, Lord, help my friend who's dealing with this health issue. It's okay to say, Lord, be with my family, with my brother's family that's just lost their dad, their husband. It's okay to say those and pray those prayers. It's okay to do that. But when we praise God, it ain't for anybody but for Him. It's to Him. Praise is to Him. And the reason we praise Him is because He alone is worthy. Not one of us. Preacher's not worthy. The choir's not worthy. Only He is worthy. That's the second part of this perfect storm. Perfect storm. Praise and prayer. Now, those are things that have to be done. And at Chrysalis, that's one of the things that goes on nonstop is praise for God. We sing. Brittany Lice, when you were leading the music, how many songs would you say we sang in that weekend? Probably 100. Yeah, close to it anyway. It was a lot. And it was praise to God. And believe me, there wasn't great singing all the time. But it was great praise. Okay, we got prayer. We got praise working together to create a powerful storm. The third thing is participation. And how you like that? I just came up with three P's there, didn't I? Praise, prayer, and participation. Participation. It means that you get involved with what's going on. That you're not a spectator in this thing that we do called being a Christian. You don't just sit on the sideline and watch what's happening. You get involved. Participation. It can be as much as standing up and just sharing the voice you have. It can be reaching out to someone that you see is struggling and putting an arm around them and just telling them you love them. It could be going out and picking something up for someone who can't drive and get out. Participate in this thing we call life. Don't be a receiver all the time, but participate. At Chrysalis, while those youth or young adults that are there are not in the service mode at that time, there's a whole team there that is there for one reason alone, is to show them God's love and serve them. There is unbelievable service there. One of the things that blew me away the most when I went to my original Emmaus walk, you know, Brenning and Dan were on that same walk before I was pastor here. We all happened to be on that same walk. And I was sitting at a table at one of the group tables, and they bring you have all kinds of snacks all the time, and it's a paradise when it comes to those kind of things. And I remember one day I was sitting at the table, and somebody, they had some trail mix or something, and it had M&Ms and sunflower seeds and raisins and something like that in there. And I said, oh, sunflower seeds. I love sunflower seeds. 30 minutes later, somebody came out and set me down a bowl full of sunflower seeds. They had gone to the store. One of the people on the team had heard me. And I mean, I didn't say that asking for it. I just made a comment. And they heard me say that. Somebody went down to the store and bought me some sunflower seeds. Now, I mean, that's a trivial little thing, isn't it? But that's participation, folks. It's seeing a need, seeing something that somebody desires, and it's meeting it. Participation, prayer, and praise. At a chrysalis event, at an Emmaus event, those three things come together to form a perfect storm. And what happens in that perfect storm is an overpowering presence of the Holy Spirit that comes and, guess what? Transforms people's lives. Transforms people's lives. It's not the spiritual director at chrysalis that transformed people's lives. It's not the lay director or those that are doing the logistical things that transforms people's lives. It's those things coming together, creating a perfect storm in which the King of Kings and Lord of Lords reaches down, engages with His creation, and gives the presence of His Holy Spirit in such a way that people are never the same again. Do you remember when I came back a month ago from the Emmaus and I shared with you some of the things, or from the chrysalis? They were still finishing up on Sunday. And I told you about a kid named Josh who was standoffish and hadn't been engaged with any of the other kids. And me and one of the other clergy, as we were singing, and all the other kids, they were kind of joined together and singing, had arms around each other, and he's standing off by himself. We went over and just put our arms around him and sang with him. And I didn't know how things turned out for him. And Brendan later told me that he didn't actually participate in the closing and share anything. They have an opportunity to do that at the end. But guess what? Last night when we went down to the candlelight, who do I see but Josh? Transformed. This is a kid that's had untold difficulties in his life, I found out. But Emmaus, or chrysalis, that perfect storm that it created there, the Holy Spirit, I don't think is through this young man yet, but it has touched him, and he wanted to be there and be involved with what was going on. Perfect storm for the Holy Spirit. During the candlelight, as we were getting ready for communion, and there's always a little devotional. We sing, and there's a little devotional. And then last night, it was a spiritual director after the devotional type thing. He got up and we're going to do communion. And some of you know Dan Lyons. Dan was a pastor out at Montmorency for several years. Moved, I guess, maybe 5 years ago. Dan Lyons, a good friend. He's the spiritual director on this walk. He's leading communion. Dan gets up there, and I'm not going to go into all that he talked about and said, but after he got through, I said, man, I thought Dan was fixing to go Pentecostal on us up there. I mean, the Holy Spirit was all over him, and you know what he said? It was because of the prayer that had been going on that day. He said he had never felt the Holy Spirit in such a powerful way. Well, I wanted to argue with him, you know, kind of in mind. I said, well, you just wasn't there last time and saw how, you know. But Dan, I'd never seen him like that. And I was thrilled about it. I went up afterwards and I told him, I said, man, I thought you was fixing to start hollering there or take a lap around the building or something. And he said, you know what? He says, I'm just about fed up with everything. And he says, I ain't holding back. The power of the Holy Spirit in a perfect storm. Folks, I'm not even going to preach this morning. That wasn't my sermon. I don't exactly know where that came from. Maybe it was the Holy Spirit. But what it means to be a Christian. It means prayer, and it means praise, and it means participation. We do a good job, I think, in a lot of ways. But folks, we just need not to hold back. We need to give it our all. We want to see a perfect storm right here in this place. It can happen. It can happen. We can create that here by praying, by putting the time into prayer, by being more interested. There's somebody sitting in here right now, and I'm going to get almost Pentecostal here. There's somebody sitting here right now thinking, you know, we need to be praying more. I want to do something about prayer in our church. Well, do it. I give you the authority to do it. I encourage you to do it, and I'll support you in doing it. There's somebody in here right now that says, you know, we need to do more about in praising God and showing our praise and our love and admiration. We need to do something more. Do it. I give you the authority from the pulpit to do it, to initiate it. There's people here, there's more than one in here that's saying, I know how I can participate in this thing called being a Christian. I give every one of you the permission to do that. All right, I'm going to ask you a question. First, I want everybody to raise their hand. Everybody raise your hand. Put your hand up. Okay. If you are a minister, keep your hand up. I see some put them down, and I see some that's kind of not sure. Well, let me tell you, go ahead and put your hand back up, because you are a minister. You are a minister. You can put your hands down now. You are a minister, because being a minister doesn't mean that you are ordained and you go to the pulpit and you speak for 20, 30, 40, 50 minutes on Sunday morning, whatever the case may be. Being a minister means that you are carrying God's Word, His Spirit, His message, His good news with you and sharing it. You don't have to preach. You don't have to teach Sunday school. You don't have to sing in the choir. But what you are called and who you are is a minister of the good news of Jesus Christ. So, y'all all had your hands up. So, you done know that you are. You've done admitted it. So now, participate and do it. You know, on Sunday mornings when we have prayer time here, we talked about this a number of years ago. Talked about opening the altar and it needed to be open. Well, the altar's still open up here on Sunday mornings when we have prayer, but it ain't being used very much. Now, I know you can pray right where you are sitting. You can do that just as well. But I'm going to tell you what, we need to step out from where we are. We need to do that. And if it's not anything but a symbolic gesture, a stepping out and be a participant in what God is doing. I'm tired of being up here by myself at the altar. I want to see some other people up here because I know there's needs in here that we all need to go to the Lord with. And just because somebody goes to the altar, it don't mean they've been out sinning and raising Cain all week and need special forgiveness. We all have been sinning all week, that's for sure. But when you see somebody go to the altar, you don't have to say, well, I wonder what Vance has been doing all week. There he is up at the altar. Yeah, Vance is my example because he gives me so much trouble on most occasions. What I want to see us do, I thought about that this morning. I actually have thought. I'm thinking, man, Brenning.
Yes, you are.
Yeah. When we come to the altar, I'm going to change the way we're doing that a little bit. We're going to have the altar open at the end of the service, every service, instead of at the beginning. So it's not a double altar experience for anybody. We'd hate for anybody to come twice in one Sunday. But we're going to do some anointing. You can come up here and I'm going to invest in some help from some of you that would like to be part of praying for other people. And we're going to anoint with oil. And we're going to lay hands on people. We're going to do some of that crazy stuff like that. That the Bible actually says do. So, anybody that's got that in their mind that would like to help out with, we're going to do that. And as we do that, we're just going to give it to God. Perfect storm. May the Holy Spirit create in you a fire, a burning, a yearning, and a love so deep that you can't help but step out from what's comfortable, what's normal, and what you're used to, and experience the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, You have done a mighty work in us. You have changed us from people who were concerned only about ourselves to people who reach out in love towards those around us. Lord, may You put a burning within us. May You put a desire within us that's beyond measure. A desire that we can't explain or comprehend. But Lord, may You light a fire in the pit of our stomach that may call us to a relationship built upon You. Lord, may that perfect storm transform our lives. We pray this in the most powerful name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. This morning as we sing our closing hymn, if you'd like to come to the altar, I encourage you to do that. It doesn't mean that you're a heathen if you come. It just means that you feel God touching your heart and your life, and you just want to get one step closer to a relationship, in your relationship with Him.